The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
It is the 9 till noon show this beautiful Monday morning, another gorgeous day here in Donegal. It's Michaela Clark in this morning for Greg Hughes. We've lots to come on the show as usual, and we'll have our Monday segments such as the DL debate and Monday focus coming up a little later. You can get in touch with us here until 12 noon by texting or WhatsApping 086 60 25000, or you can give us a call by calling 074 91 25000 or email comments at highlandradio.com. We're going to have a look first, though, at the papers this morning. What's making the papers? What stories have been catching your attention over the weekend? If there's anything particular, you can let us know here. But we're going to have a look first at the local papers, starting with the Donegal News. Low morale, compromising health service delivery is the headline. New research presented at a conference held in Letterkenny has revealed that staff morale in Irish health services is at a critically low level. The findings from the survey by FORSA, Ireland's largest public service trade union, show that nearly 70% of respondents describe staff morale as either low or terrible, with almost half reporting that the situation has worsened over the past 2 years. More than half also said that low morale is negatively impacting the quality of care. Well, FORSA held their conference in Letterkenny last week, and there was many conversations that did come out of that, and obviously that one. Morale then, as they said, ultimately leads to issues with care and, you know, staff, if they see some improvements. There's been so many calls for additional resources, additional staff, and I suppose if they did see some progress on any of this across any sector of the health service, that it would boost morale, that, you know, staff feel that they would be being listened to. In the Derry News now, I saw this video over the weekend, couldn't watch all of it, but maybe you've seen it as well. So, rat infestation on Derry's Riverside Walk. A spokesperson for Derry City and Strabane District Council has explained that the council does not provide a pest control service. However, its environmental health team will use enforcement powers available to it when necessary if there is a potential risk to public health. It followed a video which was widely shared on Thursday of a number of clearly visible rats scuttling about the lower end of Derry's Riverside Walk. The council spokesperson added that rats are more active during the summer months, so may be more visible, particularly in riverside areas and in areas where food waste or rubbish may be stored. I saw this and thought it was maybe an old video, and I did try and count the amount of rats just to see how big of an issue it was there, and there was just so many, and it was kind of like a wooden bit structure at the bottom, and they were in and out of there. But I thought that maybe the council, but I could be naive to this, thought the council that they would have resources themselves, that, you know, say if there's a rat infestation in a public place, that they would be tasked to deal with that. And obviously it's different then if it's a private property or a business, that they need to look after that and take responsibility. But yeah, there's so many people walk along that area, and it's so close to local shops and local supermarkets. So you would get the fright of your life if you're walking along there, especially early in the morning, you know, when there's not as many vehicles about, that would deter them. If one of them popped out in front of you, I don't know what I would do. I always say I'm not really scared of rats or mice, but I don't know until I would come across them. Moving now to the Irish Times. Biden diagnosed with aggressive prostate cancer. Former US President Joe Biden has been diagnosed with an aggressive form of prostate cancer that has spread to the bone, his office said in a statement last night. Mr. Biden, 82, was diagnosed on Friday after having experienced urinary symptoms, and he and his family are reviewing treatment options with doctors, the statement said. So per Joe Biden there was so much talk when he was president and when he was going to run again that, you know, he had certain health issues, and I suppose just people jumping to conclusions, and, you know, they didn't foresee this, obviously. So hopefully he has a speedy recovery. And I did note that Donald Trump himself did come out and wish Joe Biden well and wished him success in his treatment. Something we'll be speaking about a little later. It's in the Irish Daily Mirror and many of the other papers today. Man arrested in Michael murder probe. Sources say suspect is known to missing 56-year-old farmer. So a man has been arrested in connection with the murder of Michael Gain 36 hours after human remains were found on the missing man's farm. Sources say the suspect was known to Mr. Gain, aged 56. His arrest was ordered after the remains were found on the farm in Kenmare, County Kerry on Friday evening. Gardaí will have to either charge or release the suspect by later this evening. So we'll be talking about that further shortly. It's such a story that, you know, since he was reported missing, I think everybody's been gripped by it. And then it was obviously updated to a homicide murder. And then the details emerged over the weekend that partial human remains were found. So we'll hear more on that shortly. Looking now to the Irish Independent, the opening of the new €2 billion children's hospital is pushed back again. This just, I think the last time I stood in for Greg, there was a story on this as well. There's just always something about the National Children's Hospital. So the opening of the €2.24 billion National Children's Hospital is now unlikely to happen until next summer, following revelations the construction completion date, earmarked for late June, has been pushed back again until September. It had been hoped the first children could be treated in the hospital next spring, but that timeline is now unlikely to be met. It is the 15th time in over 4 years that a promised completion date has not been met. It's just crazy, the cost of this alone, and never mind the spiralling cost of it, and then being continuously pushed back. And I suppose, you know, what happens all the while it's there, it's being maintained as well while they're working on it, you know, just the cost. I don't know when we'll actually find out the true cost of this. Looking now to the Irish Daily Star, sad story emerging over the weekend as well. Horror as boy 7 dies swimming in the sea. Tributes have been paid to a boy who died while swimming in the sea at the weekend. 7-year-old Alan Singh was spotted in difficulty in the water at Lissadell Beach in Sligo at around 3:30 p.m. on Saturday, and the alarm was raised. He was given medical assistance on shore before being airlifted by the Irish Coast Guard to Sligo University Hospital, where he later died. Sligo Orn Alive volunteers also responded to the call-out. Local councillor Thomas Walsh said the whole community is in shock following the tragedy. It just shows how you need to take such care on the water. And many of these things happen in a freak incident, that it could be just the tide changes, you know, you're not aware. Nobody really knows what does happen, but it just, you just need to be so careful on the water and take all precautions. And unfortunately, Donegal is no stranger to such tragedies on the water. We've seen there a couple of weeks ago, the two young teenagers in Buncrana, they went in to retrieve a football and sadly lost their life as well. So thoughts and prayers with the family and the friends of that young boy in Sligo. Moving now to the Irish Sun. Average rent soars to $2,000 a month. This is just crazy when you compare it to having a mortgage, I think. The cost of renting a home in Ireland is now over €2,000 for the first time, new figures show. The average price of rent across the country rose to €2,053, according to daft.ie. This was 48% higher than at the outbreak of the COVID pandemic in 2020 and up from a low of just €765 in 2011. Now, in Donegal, the figure is, according to the latest daft.ie report, €1,231, and that's up 3.1% compared to the first quarter of this year. I'd love to know how close that is to what people are actually paying in Donegal. Is anybody paying over €1,000 in rent? Let us know here by texting or WhatsApping 086 60 25000. Is this a true representation? Do you pay less than this, or are you paying more? Just whenever you compare it to, say, a mortgage, you could get a mortgage for maybe that value or possibly less, depending on when you took out your mortgage or if you were taking out a mortgage now. But I suppose the issue is it's the demand for housing and trying to get on that property ladder that's the issue. And whenever you're paying rent to that amount, it's so difficult to save for a deposit for a house. So people, once they get into the rental market, they're kind of caught in it, trying to get out of it then. And, you know, many do want to own their own home, but it's just so difficult, especially when you're paying that amount, you know, and thinking that you could have a mortgage and you could be owning your own home for that price or less. Now, finally, in the Irish Daily Mail, Mary's Flower Power, the Queen of Scones, named Ireland's best baker. You've heard of the Queen of Cakes. Well, now meet more baking royalty, the Queen of Scones, Mary Buckley. Mary, aged 71, from Rathcoole, County Cork, was yesterday named as Ireland's best baker in the Gala Retail competition to find Ireland's number one. Miss Buckley had the recipe for success, with her award-winning scones taking home the prestigious title of Ireland's best baker and a 3,000 euro cash prize. Well, if you wanted to give Mary Scones a go, you can look up the recipe in the Irish Daily Mail. I'm the worst baker ever. I follow every single recipe to its finest detail and it just doesn't work out for me. But you can give it a go. I'm sure there's many talented bakers out there. I think it's one of those things, you either have it or you don't, but I definitely don't. We'll be back with more just after this short break.
Daily newspapers are courtesy of Cosgrove, Centra and Diner, Mountaintop, Letterkenny.
The time is now almost 18 minutes past nine, I should say. Now, unfortunately, there's been another incident of illegal jumping in Donegal, this time in the west of the county. I'm joined now on the line by Councillor Michael Boyle. Good morning to you, Councillor.
Morning to you, Michaela, and morning to your listeners. How are you doing this morning?
All good, all good. It's been lovely weather here in Donegal, Councillor Boyle, but unfortunately fly tipping and illegal dumping is still very much an issue, and you made that discovery over the weekend.
Yeah, well, we started up a group there 5 or 6 years ago, cleaning the road between Ardahi and Ardra. It falls in between the two MDs, between the Glenties and the Donegal, and it's a main thoroughfare for the tourists, you know, coming to Ardra and Yarn, that whole area. But the fly tipping has been serious on it since we started. The first year we started doing it, we picked up over 400 bags, you know, and it's only 15 kilometres of a road. We thought we had the battle won until yesterday we started, and we discovered maybe 4 or 5 tonne dumped in one forestry, you know. And since that, a lot of people have come on to me. It seems to be a lot of forestries around the area. There's a lot of fly tipping going on in it.
And these forestries, you have to go out of your way to dump in them, don't you?
Well, this forestry, you don't. It's along the main road.
Right.
And, you know, so it's not that anybody could see you tipping there, but it seems to be an ongoing issue there. It's getting worse and worse. I have been on to Litterward this morning. I've been on to Culture, but we have to do something about it. We went in yesterday. Now, we have great volunteers there, but you can understand, we thought it was only household rubbish, but there was a lot of nappies and everything. And you can understand with the smell yesterday, it wasn't the nicest place to be.
Yeah, particularly in that heat. And just even you thought it was household rubbish there, but the environmental impact of if it was food dumped, and especially the nappies there, attracting rodents in this weather.
Well, that's it. But the most sickening part about it is, you know, 90% of the stuff we picked up yesterday was all recyclable. You know, and I can't understand this day and age, you know, people have to go to them extremes to dump it, you know. Like plastic bottles, you can get money now back for recycling them, you know. And it's very, very disheartening for the people that volunteer every year to do this. We thought last year we only picked up about 40 or 50 bags. We thought we had the battle won. But, you know, this year now it's gone a full loop and it's worse it's getting.
And I know there have been so many calls for the council to do more for tougher sanctions in relation to this, and even calls for CCTV cameras to be put in place. But there is that GDPR issue in relation to that. But do you think that there could be more to be done that could, you know, work around this GDPR issue?
Well, that road's that long. You know, you're talking 15 kilometres. It's hard to put cameras in each place, you know. But we had one bad spot, and something has been done about it. There's cameras there. Local people have put up cameras just to see, find out who's doing it. If the weather cools down now, we're going to go through the bags and then coming week to see if we get something, because it has to stop. It's ridiculous, you know. You know, it's all the tourists going down that road. What do they think we are? You know, are we animals just dumping everything on the side of the road?
Well, that's it. You know yourself, if you're driving through an area, say you arrive in a new place, you go on holidays yourself and you land somewhere and there's rubbish strewn across the street. That is your very first impression. And obviously, there's so many scenic spots here in Donegal and you don't want to give off that impression.
Yeah. No, that's the first thing you think of. But no, since I put up that video yesterday evening, like I've had areas in Killybegs calling me, you know, fly dumping here, and even had one, a fella rang this morning from Ballyshannon. You know, it's an ongoing issue everywhere. And the forestry seem to be the prime locality for all this dumping going on.
Yeah, a listener just texted in to say bin collection should be attached to every house, and each household should have to produce receipts as to how they dispose of their rubbish. I suppose that would be hard to monitor and to get that rolled out, but I suppose anything just to kind of put an end to this once and for all.
I like, come here, we all know there's people that can't afford to, they can't afford, but last year in local road here, we found a bag, and it wasn't the person, we got the person's name in the bag, you know, and it's, they could well afford to do it. And but I do understand it, you know, some people are can't afford to get rid of rubbish, but it's just not no way to. I think there should be something in place, you know, for the people who can't afford it to get rid of rubbish somewhere. You know, it's.
And how does that work whenever you do find the person's name in the rubbish? Does that go to the council then? And, you know, we see figures then annually how many cases are brought before the courts, and they are quite low.
Well, I hadn't been on the council at that stage. It was a local fella came on the name, and they contacted the person, and he said he was going to put their name up on Facebook if they didn't go back and pick up the rubbish, you know. So they did go back and do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's...
But they shouldn't have to be shamed.
It shouldn't come down to that, you know.
Yeah, it's,
you know, like from where we're young, we're always taught never throw nothing out the window, or... You know, it's a bad act to be at. You know, it's not hard to take your rubbish home.
Yeah, definitely. Conter Boyd, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Yeah, it's an issue that kind of raises its head, not just in the summer, but kind of throughout the year, and there doesn't seem to be an end to it, really. A couple of comments coming in. What a beautiful weekend in Donegal. Just shows Donegal really has it all. It was great to see so many people enjoy our fantastic scenery. Yeah, the waters and everything around Donegal are absolutely stunning. I think anywhere in the sun, it just, everywhere looks so beautiful. And you kind of wouldn't, although you like going on holidays for a change of scenery, but there's just so many different places around here and so many, you know, there's the trailer cafes now popping up. So anywhere you go, there's so many resources there for you. You're not kind of out in the wilderness. There's, I think Donegal over the past few years has really come along in developing and making the most of the scenery and kind of promoting the tourist attractions and different beaches that people can travel to. We were talking there during a look at the papers about rent in Donegal. I was asking, has anybody, I think it was 1,053 was the average rent according to the latest staff.ie report in Donegal. Listener says it is 1,100 euro now in Manor, was paying 560 in the place before this, but was in that for 10 years with no rent adjustments. That's still... an awful lot of money, isn't it? There's a social media campaign at the minute about putting solar panel grants for people living in social housing, but they are not informing us who we should contact. I have tried contacting a number of people, but they push me from pillar to post and still no answers. Has anyone done it on a social house, and how did they go about it? If you've any information on that, let us know here on 086 60 25000 or give us a call on 074 91 25000. I saw an interesting social media post last night. Should homeowners get to stop paying property tax once their home is fully paid off? Despite feeling we shouldn't be paying twice for something, I totally agree with this. At least this way there is an end in sight. Would any of our local councillors or deputies put their name on this and campaign to make it happen? What's your view? Would you like to stop? I'm sure you would like to stop paying property tax, but do you believe that once the house is paid for that there should be an end to you paying property tax? Get in touch here with us. Another just wanted to make a comment about the road out of Ashlawn in Letterkenny onto Ballyrain Road behind ATU. First point I want to make is that it's a two-way road in and out, but there isn't enough room to let two cars pass each other and it becomes blocked. Second point I want to make is that when the lights are green to come out of Ashlawn, there are cars flying through the red lights as you're pulling out onto the Ballyrain Road, and I've had a few near misses of cars nearly hitting me as I'm pulling out because they're running a red light. It can be a danger as I have a young family in the car with me. Just thought I'd share these comments to see if there is a solution. Maybe it should be one way out only to residents. So I am joined now by Connell. Good morning, Connell.
Good morning, Michaela.
So you were on Tory Island on Saturday.
Yeah, I must say it was a lovely day and I was very impressed with it and it was a wonderful day's experience. I mean, I'm from Donegal here and sad to say I should have been out there before, but it's my first time out there. My daughter and husband convinced me to go out, you know, on the ferry at 11. We were out there at 5:30, but it was an experience really, you know.
Yeah.
And something you never get, that you don't get in many places, I found, you know.
Absolutely. And even, you know, the whole novelty of getting the ferry out, you know, going out in the water, but, particularly in that weather.
Yeah, but the walks are excellent, and my walking is not as good as it used to be, but the walks are very well, they're very flat and they're very well surfaced, and the paths are very good around the island where I'd be the lighthouse, and they're excellent paths and very easy to walk, and there's a great number of seats, mm-hmm. at different spaces throughout that whole area, like that you can sit down and relax, and then you have that added bonus that you never get anywhere now, a lot of corn creeks in different locations around the island, wherever you walk, and that's terribly unusual, and it brings me back really to my childhood, you know.
Yeah.
And where there was a lot of corn creeks, and then you have the puffins, and you had, you know, and the general, it was generally very, very well. You know, you hear so much now about towns and Erin and all that, and the big tourist centres and all that, with lack of facilities, and I found them very good. We went in first to the club there and met a lovely lady there, and we had ham sandwiches, and it was lovely, you know. And
yeah.
Then in the craft shop, and then the hotel. And the great thing about it is two excellent toilet facilities throughout the island, you know, in a small place, like in three different places, great facilities for toilets. And I suppose maybe these are private places, they're not public toilets, but maybe there's a message there for the whole country to say maybe that there should be places like that in towns, you know, that people that could could be a replacement for facilities like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the people are very friendly, and the ferry people are very friendly, and it was a lovely day. Anybody knows that's what made it too, you know. But it's so different, and it's, you know, it's an experience. You know, while we all maybe like driving here with cars now and roads and everything, and going here and going there, you go out there and you just spend 5 hours, and it's peaceful and it's relaxing, very much so, you know.
Yeah, and you're very at one with nature out there, as you say. There, you know, you can take your car over, you know, get the boat over and just kind of enjoy the scenery around there. And you mentioned the toilet facilities. I was just talking a couple of minutes before you came on about how Donegal has really come on, you know, in terms of enhancing, say, the likes of Tory Island, providing facilities out there, whether they're public facilities or it's private businesses providing them. But there's something everywhere for everybody now.
Yeah, well, you know, I found the friendship out there great too, and the people, everybody wanted to talk to each other, even though the people that was on the ferry out there, you know, and the people that were living in the island. And my God, I mean, the children's play area there is excellent, mm-hmm. you know. And the small church there is lovely. It's so peaceful going. And, you know, and the stained glass windows in the gable really are lovely, you know, and they're a real part of history. And, you know, that type of image, you know, that peacefulness, you know.
Yeah.
And then you have the crosses and you have the mass rocks and you have so much, you know, and the St. Columb Kilns went there in the 6th century and the Round Tower. So there's, and then as I say, the nature, like the corn creek in different fields around the whole island where you walk. I mean, you know, you don't hear a corn creek now.
Yeah.
Anywhere, you know, in the west of Ireland.
That's it. And Connell, so did you notice, was there many tourists there as well?
There was, yeah. There was quite a crowd out in the ferry, you know, and it's, you know, it's probably, you know, it's a great unknown, peaceful place, you mm-hmm. know, and it has an awful lot to offer in the modern world where we're all running and going faster and faster with mobile phones and tablets and here and there and Ryanair taking 200 million people around
yeah,
the world, you know.
Yeah, taking us away from the country.
And this is on our doorstep, you know, and I think but sadly to say that that's my first time out and, you know, I'm
yeah, well, I've actually,
you know,
never been, but I have heard it is absolutely beautiful. So yeah. I must get a trip out, yeah. There's so many islands around Donegal, actually, you know, small islands that you can do a day trip out to. It's whenever you decide you go on a day trip, it's remembering these places. So I've started to make a list so I know where I want to go.
Yeah, but I think it's, Tori, I found it different to a lot of other places too. It's very flat, it's very easy to walk in.
Yeah. you know, great for all abilities.
Yeah, and the journeys are not too long, and the paths and the roads is very good, and the seating around the end in different places is very good. So it ticks all the boxes, you know, I must say.
Yeah. Well, Conal, thanks so much for getting in touch. Delighted you had a good time on Tory Island, as I'm sure anybody does that visits it. We were talking about rubbish there with Councillor Michael Boyle. A few listeners have been in touch. The lack of bins along the main streets and at seaside resorts is a real issue, hence why people are dumping. Even in shopping centres, when you come out, it's impossible to get one. From the Lifford to Ballybuffet Road this morning, there are hundreds of plastic bottles. I know that the Strabane Lifford Half Marathon was on yesterday, but someone should be out lifting them. We need to keep our beautiful county clean. Another listener says, I live in Northern Ireland and we get our bins free because we pay rates. Why can the Republic of Ireland not do the same, as they have a household charge? If bins were provided, there wouldn't be as much littering. Yeah, I live in Northern Ireland, and that is the case. You buy your bin initially and then it gets collected every week for free. You have your recycling, you have your black household bin, and even, you know, you can go to the dump and it's free of charge as well. So I think a lot, there's so much of a difference between, I suppose, here in the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland in terms of, you know, waste and even, you know, water. But it's hard to know which is the best or which is the most beneficial to us.
Watch the show live now on YouTube, Facebook and at highlandradio.com.
Now, vaping has become commonplace. You maybe vape yourself, you know someone who vapes, or you're out socialising and somebody's vaping beside you. I'm joined now by Councillor John O'Donoghue, who is raising fresh concerns relating to vaping. Good morning, Councillor.
Good morning, Michaela, and good morning to all the people listening in lovely Donegal this morning.
So I suppose, Councillor O'Donoghue, there has been issues relating to cannabis-like substances, and this has given rise to concerns again.
Absolutely. It's become a huge problem. This cannabis like substance, as you said, HHC is what it's commonly known as. It's hexahydrocannabinol. I suppose the major issue we have here in Ireland is that this is a substance that gives you a high. It's a psychotic episode, or it's a psychotic substance, and it's freely available in Ireland in vape shops, and anybody can just walk into their shop on their main street and can buy a vape containing this substance. And I suppose the huge issue with that is that the fact that it's so freely available in shops in Ireland, it's giving it almost a credibility. There's people going in and buying it and saying, sure, it can't be too bad if I'm able to buy it in my shop. But this is despite the HSE raising concerns, I think, about 18 months ago about this substance. And just to give it some context, this substance is banned in 20 European countries. And in another one, Norway, it's only available under very controlled circumstances from your pharmacist. So it's mind-boggling to think, to be quite honest, that it's still so freely available in Ireland after the government being told by the HSE and by all the health experts who are paid to inform us on such things, that about the dangers that this causes. So it's incredible, really, to be quite honest with you.
And do you know if there is an age limit on, or if there is a minimum age imposed on people who can buy this?
It isn't any different to the, say, any age limits that
would be imposed. So a teenager or a child could go in and...
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Like, we have seen lots of cases where, I suppose, media outlets would have carried out, a test run where they would have sent a young person into vape shops and walking in to see, would they be asked for ID or would they be asked what age they are? And there are no limits, and you can buy these types of vapes the same as you can any other one. And I suppose if people are just wondering what are the dangers associated with this, I know it's really come to the fore in the last couple of days, and there was a documentary last night, but the HSE clinical head for addiction services, who's Professor Eamon Keenan, he has said that 20% of people attending adolescent services for addiction and mental health issues are now presenting with problems after using HHC. So this isn't, I suppose, opinion. This is medical facts.
So
I'm I'm absolutely astonished to think that it's still so freely available in the country, because I suppose the dangers with it are, obviously, when you get a high, there's the physical danger to yourself and others while you're high. It causes nausea, elevated heart rate, but the big problem is it's also causing psychotic episodes. Now, I'm not a medical expert, obviously, but my understanding is that there may be many of us who would be prone to a psychotic episode, mm-hmm. but we will never know it. It's only a substance like this that can trigger it. I suppose it can find the weak spot or the crack or whatever you want to call it. So it is a major issue. And then the other problem is, even for those who are lucky enough to escape having a psychotic episode, I suppose we've always been told that the danger with drugs is that people who use them to get a high, that as time goes on, they need to take more and more of it in order to get the same high, and eventually it leads on to them going to what we might call more traditionally harder drugs. So I suppose by logic, there would have to be a huge danger of that happening as well in this case. That it would become a gateway to what more traditionally well-known harder drugs.
And obviously, drug use at any age, it has so many dangers. And because we don't know what is in any type of drug, and especially these, because there's no regulation over these vapes, but children and young teenagers taking this, the impact that will have on their health for the future, you don't even want to think about it.
Absolutely. And as you said, it's not a good idea at any age, and I don't condone it at any age. But the thing is, if young people can get these, they're able to obtain them at a time where they're still very impressionable. Their bodies are actually still developing. Their brains are still developing. So the risk of adverse effects to them is much higher. And I know that there was a study done last year. It was across, I think, 65 or 85 countries, maybe it was 85 countries, where 10% of teenagers reported that they regularly vape, and 20% said they do it occasionally. Mm. So if it's a case that this substance, the HHC, is so readily available in Ireland, and of course Ireland, I assume, is no different anywhere else, but I believe there were parts of the study that would suggest there's also 10% of teenagers in Ireland regularly vape, and 20% of them do it occasionally, then the exposure risk to this substance is colossal. And I suppose on vapes in general, I would also have colossal issues around the marketing of them and the way that the flavours are in them. I know that the vape companies will say that there's different flavours, like, I don't know, bubble gum or watermelon or whatever's in them. I don't vape myself, so I don't know. But it's those kinds of flavours.
Yeah, but they know that appeals to younger people, them flavours, which is the concerning part of it.
It is, and I know that they say that it's for adults who might enjoy a vape but don't like the taste of cigarettes, but that's a cover. We all know they are marketing this at young people, which is very, very wrong. And really, the government needs to do something about it very, very quick. And I suppose that is the most baffling thing about it. It would appear there's two different ways that this problem can be dealt with. The first is that this HHC would be classified as a drug and put on a list with all of the other kind of, I suppose, more traditional drugs, which would solve it. But I believe that would take a little time. But I think that the government could decide with the signing of a form that using vapes with HHC in it would fall under the Misuse of Drugs Act, which makes it's outlawed immediately. So this isn't even something that, you know, sometimes we hear the legislators say, oh, but it'll take time to pass legislation, etc. It doesn't even seem like that is the case with this. They can do it with the press of a switch almost, and haven't done it. So it's incredible. I don't know what the medical experts are there for. If their advice isn't heeded, I suppose I'd put it to you that way.
Yeah, because such a serious issue, even if they made small steps in cracking down on this, it would have a positive impact some way. Any work at all on this?
Absolutely. It is like the longest journey starts with the smallest step. So just to do something about it. And I know that, I suppose, up until the whole issue of the HHC has raised its head, there has been an awful lot of talk around vaping indoors. I suppose it's just such an unregulated space. I'd have a colleague here in Kerry County Council. We're not from the same party or anything, but I have a colleague, Councillor Mikey Sheehy, who has been very vocal on the issue. And I think that he put it very well when he said that he's basically campaigning to get vaping indoors banned, that it would have to be in areas that would be treated the same as smoking indoors, which is the case in a lot of other European countries. He said that the absence of proof of harm is not proof of the absence of harm. And I think that that's a very good way of looking at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think it's good enough for them to come back and say the evidence isn't conclusive yet or it's not definitive. Surely it should be treated the same as smoking until we find out exactly. Like, it may actually take years for us to see what effect vaping is going to have on people. This is regular vaping. That's what effect it has on their lungs. It may take a long time for us to see that. Unfortunately, the effects may only be known teenagers now are in their 40s and 50s. It may unfortunately only be then that we see what problems.
Yeah, it's going to take a long, long time, yeah. And I know so many people argue that, you know, vaping is better than smoking, but as you outlined there, we don't know what's in these vapes, and particularly the disposable vapes. I know the government is making some movement on banning them, but we still don't know what the effects are. You mentioned a teenager now, it could be when they're 40 or 50, we see the effects of that, but it's too late then for many.
It absolutely is far too late for many. And I suppose the problem is we don't even know what's in these vapes. Like, they are synthetic compounds that are inside them. They're artificially created compounds. I think that's very best just from my own research. And again, I will definitely stress I'm not an expert in this area and I'm not any kind of a health professional. But just from my own research on this, it seems like the very best that you can hope for in your vape is that what it has in it are the flavours that would have traditionally been used to flavour foods. But that's meant to go down your esophagus, not down your windpipe. It's not meant to go into your lungs. It wasn't created for that. And if that's the absolute best that you can hope for, I really shudder to think what the worst is, what is in the very worst of them. It's a big problem, to be quite honest.
Yeah. And do you know if there are any plans, or has the government been listening to you? I know you're backing these calls for indoor vaping to be banned. Has there been any feedback in relation to that?
There has, but again, the feedback has been very unsatisfactory. I know Councillor Sheehy raised it at the recent HSE Region Assembly South, basically the old Southern Health Board, I suppose, for want of a better description. And the response was very unsatisfactory. It's very kind of wishy-washy, where they kind of came back to him and said they were looking into to see basically how harmful it is. But like that is not good enough in my book. It's not good enough at all. And if time progresses and we're proved to be wrong, that the fears are completely unfounded regarding regular vaping, not the HHC ones. Now, that's a major problem and needs to be dealt with right now. But if, say, what you might call your regular vaping, if the fears wind up proving to be unfounded, sure, isn't it better to have been wrong about that viewpoint than wrong about the other one? When, like, if you're out eating dinner, I'm sure it has happened to you, because it has happened to us all, I suppose. It's still now, even in a restaurant, or if you're inside in a pub that might serve food, the person at the table next to you wouldn't dream of lighting up a cigarette nowadays. But they take no notice of taking a sneaky puff of their vape.
Yeah,
and it's.
And I know every premises kind of has their own regulation on this, but people do chance it. And even, you know, say if you're in a workplace, or you're standing outside of a shop and somebody will take a puff of a vape, and just the smell, and as you mentioned, them sweet smells, and you know that person has chosen to put their own health at risk by using the vape, but not everybody wants to be concerned with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I suppose we've all seen them, like the colossal volumes of smoke or vapour, whatever it is that's coming out of them. I think it's actually vapour. Like, the colossal amount of, even the amount of smoke that it seems to come out of them is absolutely incredible. And I know that people will make the argument that they are very useful for people who are trying to give up smoking, and that may well be the case, but now I suppose it's hard to believe that they could be worse for you than smoking, but I suppose the honest answer to that is we don't know. But to that argument, I would say, fine, make vapes available through prescription. Like, I'm sure that the government could even bring something in where you have to get the prescription, but it mightn't actually cost you anything. So, you know, immediately people will come back and say, oh, but that's putting unnecessary cost on individuals who are trying to quit smoking. I'd say make it available only through prescription. but maybe make the prescription free.
Yeah.
That, like, this is something that possibly the government could cover and pay the doctors, I would hope, a nominal fee, because it's not the most, wouldn't be the most complicated prescription in the world to write. A nominal fee in the interests of public health.
Yeah, anything to regulate it. Councillor John O'Donoghue of the Independent Alliance, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Yeah, it is a huge conversation that I suppose has been had time and time again, but this cannabis-like substance in vapes and teenagers using it is obviously such a worrying development.
Highland Radio weather updates with McElhenney's. Get set for summer with all new arrivals dropping every week, from fashion to footwear and homeware to cosmetics. Discover more in-store or shop online at McElhenney's.com today.
Today's weather, patchy cloud will build through the day with the chance of a few isolated showers, cooler than of late, with highest temperatures of 15 to 19 degrees. Now, I'm sure many of you would have been following the events in County Kerry over the weekend in relation to missing farmer Michael Gain. I am joined now by Anne Mooney, who is the Southern Correspondent with the Irish Times. Good morning, Anne.
Actually, hi, McMillan.
Irish son, excuse me.
No problem. Good morning.
So, Anne, this is a story that has gripped many of us since Michael Gain, who was in his 50s, went missing since March the 20th. And it has been a developing investigation.
Well, it really hasn't been a developing one, Michaela, because initially it was declared to be a missing persons investigation. And Michael Gain farmed a 1,000-acre sheep and cattle farm near Moll's Gap in picturesque Ring of Kerry. And on the morning of March 20th, he was last seen going into the Centra supermarket in Kenmare, which is about 6 kilometres from his farm. And he purchased a sandwich and he bought call credit. And that was the last sighting of him. He was captured on CCTV and that was circulated widely. And then he was reported missing the following day, March 21st. So the Gardaí immediately launched a huge missing persons investigation. And the lands, when they checked his Jeep, was parked outside the farmhouse on the land, and his phone and his wallet were on the front seat. So a huge search. The local people all got behind it. This farmer was well known and well liked in the area. And, you know, all the resources were called in, the guards, Garda helicopter, Kerry Mountain Rescue, Coast Guard. I mean, they left no stone unturned, yeah. Literally, in the search for Michael. The area around the farmhouse was extensively searched because... And the big slurry tank was emptied, mm-hmm. and it looked as if Michael had disappeared into thin air, really. So following that, on April 29th, Gardaí declared the investigation upgraded to one of homicide.
And do you have any information on what Gardaí would have found that would have led them to believe this at that time?
No. I think it was because of the disappearance and the fact that there was absolutely no sign of this man who would have kept in contact with his family and who had never, ever done anything like this before. This was totally out of character. Mm-hmm. I believe that they decided at that stage that they needed to conduct a criminal investigation as well. Mm-hmm. And once they declare something a homicide, then that opens up avenues to them because... They can get warrants, they can go to courts and secure search warrants, they can secure warrants to check, you know, phone records, all that type of thing. So they proceeded with that and that was progressing. And then 8.5 weeks after he disappeared last Friday, there was a major breakthrough when a man who was spreading slurry on two of Michael Gaines' fields, the slurry machine stopped, and he went to check to see what was clogging it up, and he found what appeared to be human tissue.
Oh,
and then immediately called the guards, and they were quickly on the scene. And the whole investigation kind of took a new life at that stage. And so teams of Gardaí were called in, the crime unit, which was already operating from the time they declared it a homicide, the state pathologist and the forensic pathologist were all contacted. And again, extensive searches were conducted on Saturday, and then yesterday there was another breakthrough when human remains were found in the slurry pit in the cattle shed.
Yeah.
And the hearse arrived, and the guard of the car with the parish priest arrived. It was around 5 p.m. yesterday evening, and they entered the cattle shed, and I believe the priest did last rites, and two friends of Michael's carried a coffin out and into the hearse. And the other development was that a man in his 50s, who was known to Michael, was arrested and is being held in a Garda station in Kerry under the Criminal Justice Act. And he's been arrested on suspicion of murder. So that's where we stand at the moment.
Yeah, I'd seen some of the videos and photos from the scene last night, and seeing the Gardaí standing in a guard of honour, and some of the local people there. I'm sure there's a terrible sense. It's quite a disturbing case as it is at the minute as well.
Very disturbing and very, very upsetting for the family. And actually among the people who were standing looking were members of Michael's family, including his wife Janice, who had made a very emotional appeal for help and information, and spoke about him as being her best friend, her husband, and she spoke of the things that he loved and that she just wanted him home, as did his sister, who was with her in the video that was supplied by Gardaí. So she was there, and obviously other members of the family, along with neighbours and friends and onlookers. And yes, the people formed a guard of honour, and so too did the guards who were on site as the hearse was driven out of the farm.